Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. The article is, as the author puts it, difficult to read, hard to read. Nicholas Kristof at Nick Kristof on X says, I hope you'll read it, even though it's difficult. I've spent some time reporting on widespread rape and other sexual violence on Palestinian male and female prisoners by Israeli authorities, and the article is now published. The assault victims were warned not to give speak of what they endured. They were sometimes told they would be killed or raped if they gave interviews, but they found the courage to do so. One man described being raped three times in a single day in Israeli prison, the third time after he tried to protest. A young woman said the guards would come in at the beginning of each shift and strip her naked and abuse her. Another reported that she was shown photos of herself being raped and warned they would be released unless she cooperated with Israeli intelligence. Even three children who had been detained told me they'd been sexually abused. Look, whatever our position on the Middle East, we should be able to agree on being anti-rape. Sexual assaults were horrific when Israeli women were targeted on October 7th, and they're equally horrific when Israeli authorities use them against Palestinians day after day after day. We should be able to find common ground in opposing rape. We should. We should. No, I agree with the sentiment. However, we are dealing with a radicalized and extremist cult in the form of Israel. And we can go now to clip number 34. Here's a broadcast of Israeli television where they talk about whether rape is wrong. Let's watch. He says, I told my friend that I don't give a rat's buttocks about what they do to a guy like that. Talking about the rape victim who was hospitalized. What, is that really what you think? He says unequivocally, yes. Whoa. Soldiers who are suspected in the criminal offense of rape. Yes. Of a cuffed prisoner? You don't care about that? Okay. Does the morality of our soldiers not interest you? No. By the way, they're not soldiers, in fact. They're not soldiers. They're criminals. Again, I don't give a rat's buttocks what they did to that Hamas man. I always remember, first of all, the only thing that is a problem for me here is that it's not a regulated policy of the state to abuse the detainees. Because, first of all, they deserve it, and it's great revenge, and we need to give them that. And secondly, maybe it will also serve as a little bit more of a deterrent. That is, the moment the other side, who we need to remember, Josh, we need to remember it well, and never lose our focus or cool down, that these people tied 30 of our daughters on trees on the 7th of October, and they did to them acts that are no less severe. I don't even want to make the comparison severe in an extreme way. So first of all, they deserved it. It's an appropriate revenge. It's just a shame that we don't do it in an institutionalized way as part of regulations for torture of prisoners. Because the next guys who think about doing another October 7th will say, do you see what they're doing in Israel? Don't even think about it. First of all, I'm sorry these things are even being aired, because what Schlesinger is doing here is simply an incitement to violence. Incitement to violence. Real incitement? This man has just expressed support for the criminal offense of rape being committed on prisoners. And he's nods along. Horrible terrorists, Hamas, men who want to kill you too and abduct you and F you. Like, I'll just emphasize the point, Schlesch. I don't think Josh is trying to defend this scum. No, he is. I think it's a question, is that is it appropriate for an IDF soldier under any circumstances to insert a sharp object when we're talking about a Hamas man, a man who burned children, who raped women, that his whole idea is to take each and every one of us and throw us in the sea and commit the worst possible acts on us. That's the revenge they deserve to get. And more than that, it needs to be a deterring force. Let's give Josh a moment. Wait, he didn't say anything. How are you already said? But wait, let him speak. He said, it's really shame. People say things like you do on air. It's really sad. Weakening the nation. The enemy sees it. He sees how flaccid you are and how much you want The Hague again. I almost have to laugh, because even the guy objecting to it only objects to it on the basis that it will eventually bite them in the butt. He's not saying, no, this is wrong on the face of it. He's saying it's an incitement to violence. You're going to cause people to be violent against us. You're going to cause people to hate us more when you go out and advocate for not just the rape of prisoners, but that it should be a regular activity and a regulated strategy of the IDF or the Israeli prisons. Now, the thing to remember is a lot of the so-called rapes on October 7th that they talk about never actually happened. So they're angry about a fantasy of theirs. And the people being raped in the prison have never been convicted of a crime.
I need to be able to stay on air. We had a massive effect exposing their COVID rollout, and we're key globally. in warning the public, teaching people real things that protected you, and getting the lockdowns and fraud to stop. The enemy's back. We need to stay on air. You are the Paul Revere's. Your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support. We make it easy to support us because the products are amazing. I only sell you things that really work, so you get it and it blows you away. It's so good and you want to get it again and again and again. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have a flash sale that's going for 48 hours that launched last night, that runs until tomorrow evening, Tuesday night at midnight. Buy one Shilajit gummies, amazing huge bottle of them, and get one Shilajit gummies free. Buy one Ultimate Creatine, the highest quality creatine out there, private label, the top brand in the U.S., and get another Ultimate Creatine free. That is a massive deal. Now, if you don't know what Shilajit is, it's not all equal. Mainly out of the Himalayas, but it's also in some other mountain ranges. We'll have an earthquake, and then it's just this million-year-old black goo.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you here from the off-site InfoWars replacement. We're not InfoWars. I keep reminding myself that. Still feels like we are, but we're not, obviously. Legally, we're not. We're the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Share that link, alexjoneslive.com. Some people still don't know where to find us. And I'll tell you, we have a lot of new people tuning in. Probably thanks to things like The Onion. Thanks, guys, for that, as well as just all the news about it, which is good. We, you know, the point of this is to reach as many people as possible. And I hope if you are tuned in for the first time, you're realizing that we aren't just flying off the handle or talking about Bigfoot or, you know, making things up. We are literally responding to mainstream media articles about some of the most evil things in the world and just explaining to you the way that these revelations are being done strategically, when in reality, you could have known all of this a very long time ago. And so it's great. It's a very good thing that we have all these new viewers, and thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing the link and telling new people about it. The problem is, it's our old school loyal listeners that go to the Alex Jones Store and buy things. New viewers aren't always that inclined. So I want to give you, you know, a couple reasons as to why you should be supporting the Alex Jones Network at thealexjonesstore.com and sharing our links at alexjoneslive.com. The first is because we are in an information war. I don't know if you've realized this, but clearly the most powerful method of controlling humanity right now is through information. They don't have jackbooted thugs kicking your door down and dragging you out if you disobey them. They do have methods of revelation through the mainstream media of warping people's minds or shaping their perspective on certain things, of establishing trends where they don't exist and hiding patterns and trends where they do exist. It is, at its core, an information war, and we are able to decode the information being shared because we know the endpoint. We know what ultimately they're driving at. And once you know where they're going, you can reverse engineer how they're trying to get there. And we're going to cover that later in the show. I've got a very bombshell video that you all need to know about some new scientific revelations, some scientific discoveries that are probably the biggest discoveries in the entire world, but are getting no attention. We'll get into that a little bit later. But the point is that there's a reason we're able to predict things so far ahead. There's a reason we're able to understand what the powers that be are going to do before they maybe even know they're going to do it, certainly before they announce it. And it's because we've reverse engineered their method of attack. It's why we knew about the lab leak in January of 2020. It's why we knew not only that there would be vaccines, but that there would be vaccine mandates to get out of a lockdown all the way back in February, when people were hearing 2 weeks to slow the spread for the first time ever. Or how we knew the way in which the 2020 election would be stolen using the mail-in ballots, which depended on the lockdowns. There's a reason we can call it all. There's a reason we can foresee the moves of the enemy. And it's because We are engaged in an information war, and we treat it like one. We study the enemy troop movements, and we try to deploy our troops to counteract it. So that's the information war side of things. And the Alex Jones Network, Alex Jones himself, the crew here, the John Bound, the reports that we make have proven to be the most accurate, the most successful at fighting the bad guys, which is why they've attacked us so brutally. And yet we've survived because we have the truth on our side, because we're honest and we don't commit crimes. We don't try to get away with things, so they don't have anything to hold over us. And because our audience recognizes that even if we do get things wrong, which is extremely rare, practically non-existent, it's a mistake, not because we're lying. And if we do find that we covered something incorrectly, we're happy to go back and say that we are wrong, because all we're interested in is being right and progressing humanity towards a more peaceful world. That's the information war side of things. The other side of things is the chemical war side of things. There is a chemical war going on in which your body and your mind are the battlefield. And there's any number of, strategic deployments of chemicals with negative impacts to human beings that are deployed on purpose by big corporations, as well as in coordination with big government, things like fluoride, things like atrazine, things like glyphosate, that, yes, they do make you sick in general, right? You might just get cancer from these things, but the subtle effects are far, far more dangerous. And there's a reason you find that if you learn the truth and find this stuff out and you're like, oh my God, this stuff is crazy, I can't wait to tell people. And then you go and tell people and their reaction is to be mad at you, or their reaction is to be suspicious of you or something. And it can be kind of disorienting because, if you're here, if you're a thinking human being, if you're somebody with the ability to contend with reality, and you might be in a world of illusion and fantasy, dictated by the mainstream media and the, culture at large, you come to a place like the Alex Jones Network and you get that illusion shattered and you go, oh my God, the things are crazy. And you're like, if you're like me, you're like excited to learn this. You're like, oh my God, this is incredible. This is amazing. I can't believe, all this stuff is true, but it is. And so then you want to go tell your friends, and you're like the classic thing for me is in like 20, whatever it was, 11 or whenever, around that time, when Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't need, I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? And you're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body. But that's why we sell the supplements that we do. People mock our supplements. The fact is, pretty much everybody takes – who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, before bed or when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. We don't just throw stuff up here, right? We find the best in the market. We white label it, private label it. And we sell it to you at a discount. So if you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, That's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. We're able to be totally free to air, take this content up, put it up yourself because you go to thealexjonesstore.com and support us, but also put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything, but I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. It really is a thing. And, you know, testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. Maybe at a certain point of testosterone, it could be a negative thing, but that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence, because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product. So there you go. If you're a new viewer, that's the reason. Those are two reasons to support InfoWars. Not InfoWars. Never support InfoWars. Doesn't even exist. What are you going to support? Those are the reasons you want to support Alex Jones Live and go to thealexjonesstore.com. And by the way, even if you don't want any of the products, actually the best way to support us monetarily is to contribute at the Alex Jones show, or I'm sorry, alexjoneslive.com. alexjoneslive.com. Keep Alex on the air. Emergency request. They've come at Alex from every angle, and he's still here broadcasting daily from a brand new studio on the Alex Jones network at alexjoneslive.com. Stand with him now. More than ever, stand with all of us, myself, the crew, everybody who contributes, thealexjonesstore.com. You can go there and you can just contribute outright. That way, you know, the full amount comes to us. Because I know people who buy products that they don't even want just because they want to contribute. Don't do that. Because we pay for the products. We have a pretty high overhead. We actually give you guys pretty good prices. So it's not like we're, you know, making a ton of money every time we sell products. We make enough to stay afloat. But if you want to just contribute, you know, the full amount that you give, thealexjonesstore.com has the ability to do that as well. Okay. I'm sorry, but I got to give you the spiel just because I think people who are tuning in for the first time may have a misapprehension about what we sell, why we sell it, why we do what we do. Hopefully it's a little bit clearer now. Back to the rape. Back to the systematic rape of war, shall we? So, the article from the New York Times, the silence that meets the rape of the Palestinians. Male and female Palestinians describe brutal sexual abuse at the hands of Israel's prison guards, soldiers, settlers, and interrogators. It's a simple proposition. Whatever our views of the Middle East conflict, we should be able to unite in condemning rape. Supporters of Israel made the point that after the brutal sexual assaults against Israeli women during the Hamas-led attack on Israel on October 7, 2023, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Benjamin Netanyahu, and many U.S. senators, including Marco Rubio, condemned that sexual violence, and Netanyahu rightly called on all civilized leaders to speak up. And yet, in wrenching interviews, Palestinians have recounted to this author a pattern of widespread Israeli sexual violence against men, women, and even children by soldiers, settlers, interrogators in the Shin Bet internal security agency, and above all, prison guards. There's no evidence that Israeli leaders order rapes, but in recent years, they've built a security apparatus where sexual violence has become, as the United Nations report put it last year, one of Israel's, quote, standard operating procedures and a major element in the ill treatment of Palestinians. A report out last month from the Euromed Human Rights Monitor, a Geneva-based advocacy group often critical of Israel, concludes that Israel employs systematic sexual violence that is, quote, widely practiced as part of an organized state policy. And that's bad. You know, it's another one of these things where it's like I read this and I'm like, okay, what? How do I even analyze? Like, what am I supposed to analyze here? It's just another example of the endless savagery and blackheartedness and evil that seems to permeate everything Israel does. And it's disgusting and it's sick and it's approved of by the vast majority. I mean, there was this, it's like so many wrinkles to this story. You've got the fact that they were caught on video, a bunch of Israeli soldiers raping prisoners. This became a case in Israel. The people who committed the rapes were acquitted of it and actually brought on Israeli TV and celebrated like they were heroes who were congratulated and confirmed before the trial even started. There were riots outside of the prison by Israeli citizens who were mad that the people were being punished or charged or in any way held to account for the rapes that they carried out. They rioted on behalf of the rapists to continue to rape the prisoners who, I remind you, have never had a day in court, have never been able to argue their innocence. In some cases, have never been charged with a crime. In some cases, are minors. It's disgust. It's disgusting and insane, and it's not one or two bad apples. It's the whole bunch, and it's sick. And they're open about it. They think it's funny. They're not shy. They're not hiding it. I mean, you saw there the biggest conflict you get is one person going, "Hey, dude, you can't actually say that. People are going to get mad." That's like the most I've ever seen pushback on this. The woman who revealed. The whistleblower, the attorney for the rape victims herself was harassed endlessly to the point where like she couldn't walk down the street. There's videos of her like crying as people are yelling at her and throwing things at her. She eventually tried to commit suicide because of the abuse that she was facing for revealing the rape of prisoners by Israeli guards. And they were acquitted. So I'm not going to get into the details of this story because they are lurid and disgusting. But you can read it yourself if you want. And this was published in The New York Times, The Silence Then Meets the Rape of Palestinians. Obviously, this is very embarrassing for Israel. But like everything we've seen recently, they're not so embarrassed that they stop. They're not so embarrassed that they actually stop doing it. And they're not actually embarrassed about doing it. They're just angry they got caught. And they're, I guess, just like embarrassed that they're exposed. I don't really know. There's the protest right there banging on the prison wall. And then, of course, Israel calls that blood libel, even though it's on video and confirmed in legal accounts. So what actually happens is, Israel, in order to combat a factual article about the way in which they use rape as a weapon of war, they come out with another article in the Daily Mail. It says, "Full depravity of Hamas during October 7th revealed for the first time. New report details how terrorists performed almost unimaginable horrors on Israeli families." And this is the thing. When October 7th, the 7th happened, it was awful. And I felt awful for the Israelis. And I still do. For the ones that were targeted, for the families in their kibbutzes, you know, waking up to gunfire, it's horrifying and it's terrifying. But then they say the thing about the 40 beheaded babies wasn't true. Then they make all these claims about women being tied to trees. It's all been proven false. And doesn't it kind of lessen the impact of October 7th? Doesn't it kind of make you go, well, did any of this happen? Or was any of this real? Or what about the stand down order and the Hannibal directive? Do I even care about this anymore? Because if it was so bad, you wouldn't have to lie so much about it. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? That it's unreasonable, even if your only, you know, goal was to actually honor and remember the victims of October 7th. Why would you lie about it so much? Why would you say so many falsehoods about it? You are cheapening the reality, if there is any, which at this point it seems, you know, fake up and down. Seems like the raid was known about and allowed to occur with the stand down order for hours and the soldiers themselves testifying under oath that they were given stand down orders and told not to patrol their normal patrol to allow this thing to happen. The Hannibal directive being carried out. Once again, it's like, you know, they want you to feel like a terrible person. Like as if it's you committing the acts on October 7th. If you merely say, why are you lying about this? Or what really happened? Or that was disproven. They'll say that's an anti-Semitic blood libel. How dare you? They, you know, connect it to questioning the Holocaust, which is a whole different topic. Aaron Mate points out that the author of the cover-up report, so there's the actual report from the New York Times where they actually interviewed a bunch of Palestinians and got all the evidence and, you know, published the really disturbing details about it. Then Israel publishes this fake report trying to, I guess, compete for the horror. Aaron Mate says the author of this report is a documented fraudster and a grifter who even Israeli officials have faulted for inaccurate research. The quote-unquote report approvingly cites other documented fraudsters, including those who spread the beheaded babies hoax. Those who launder October 7th atrocity propaganda to manufacture support for the Gaza genocide only continue to reveal their full depravity. And it goes on and on and on and on. As Z Squirrel puts it on X, what happened over the past 2 days is pretty amazing. The Israeli regime knew Nick Kristof was going to publish this New York Times piece on their actual systematic rape of Palestinians, including children and the use of dogs to rape. So they fabricated a new report, the most insane one yet, copy-pasted together by a proven fraud that repeats all the already debunked falsehoods and relies entirely on known proven hoaxers. And they actually got the New York Times, BBC, CNN, AP, Reuters, and Reuters to launder it for them a day after the Kristof piece came out to try to bury it. They own the entire media class completely. And once again, what he's talking about, or she's talking about, the media class being involved in is the cover-up and the deliberate, you know, downplaying of systematic rapes of non-convicted prisoners by the prison guards and the soldiers. And then, of course, you have this story from Al Jazeera. Israeli soldiers expose directives to execute all men in Gaza. Once again, as if we needed the confirmation, as if we needed the whistleblower, as if we didn't know this from all of the footage of them killing everybody or the Daddy's Home AI agenda. I mean, yeah, no, it's called a genocide, folks, for a reason. And it's not just the men in Gaza that they're killing. That's the one I guess they felt comfortable enough to actually give the official orders to kill, but they don't draw a distinction. An investigation aired on Israel's Channel 13 that revealed the Israeli military directed soldiers to kill all the males they encountered in Gaza. The revelation adds to the growing evidence of genocide committed by the Jewish state. Middle East Eye reported on the television program providing the quotes in English. This story is at alexjoneslive.com. And it's going to continue on the other side. We'll get back into it. Talk about how this sick mindset travels.
I am so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support. your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. Unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still, and will always be, 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let's see if we can't bridge the gap between what Israel's doing over there and what they're doing over here. Obviously, there's a attempt now to by Israel to shield themselves from the backlash to their own actions. Part of that is by no longer being dependent on American foreign aid, since they know that that's likely going to go away soon. So what they're doing is trying to establish a partnership with America. They did a very similar thing with Ukraine when it looked like Donald Trump was going to win the election in 2024. And even before then, they Trump-proofed Ukraine aid by basically signing five-year agreements between Ukraine and the United States government that basically you couldn't get out of because the Senate agreed to it. So the president doesn't have a right to overcome it. And so basically didn't matter who got elected. They would be receiving the aid anyway. This is kind of what's happening here, where instead of foreign aid, it'll be seen as investment, or it'll be seen as in-kind, you know, donation, cooperations. From Information Liberation, Prime Minister Netanyahu is working to secure U.S. aid for Israel indefinitely by retooling our special relationship from one of, quote-unquote, aid to a supposed, quote-unquote, partnership. This headline, the headline out of Netanyahu's 60 Minutes interview on Sunday was Netanyahu's claim that it's time they weaned themselves off of the, quote, remaining military support they received from America. In reality, CBS News, under Larry Ellison's handpicked editor Barry Weiss, just deceptively edited out the part to hide the fact that Netanyahu was actually seeking to rebrand our aid as a, quote, partnership. Barry Weiss's CBS deceptively cut out the part of the interview where Netanyahu clarified that rather than getting aid from the U.S., he wants us to have a so-called partnership. I want to draw the aid down, he said. And then I want to suggest projects, joint projects for intel, for weapons, for missile defense. What he's describing is taking military tech such as missile defense, which we funded, and then selling it back to us as some sort of partnership. This isn't just missing from the clip below. It was chopped out of the full show, too, without any clear cuts. Note, too, he says he wants to start now and not wait until the next Congress because he knows the American people don't want to give Israel a dime. As I highlighted last year, at the same time that Netanyahu was pushing this nonsense about weaning from the U.S., the Israeli lobby was quietly plotting to secure an aid package for the Jewish state that would span 25 years rather than 10 in order to insulate the relationship against any future U.S. political vagaries and uncertainties. It now appears as if they're going to rebrand this aid as a partnership. And in reality, they are setting up a partnership in a lot of ways. As we explained yesterday, whether it's the Cyberdome that accused pedophile Tom Alexandrovich is in charge of, where they're bringing in NATO, the Five Eye countries, Germany, and American cyber defense will be managed by Israel. Now, Israel is not America. So why we would have any sort of partnership where we relied on them for intelligence or relied on them for defensive information is absurd. We have all of the ability to generate all of that information ourselves. Of course, there's a constant string of lies about, you know, the ability of the Mossad is just so much better than ours. And, oh, we would just be lost and blind without them, as if we would even need to have eyes in the Middle East if it weren't for our dedicated relationship with Israel. Anyway, Israel isn't just spending its own money. Every major arms contract is listed on congressional record as FMF funded, U.S. grants, not Israeli funds. They're signing against future aid they haven't received yet. The outstanding balance is over $47 billion. Here's how you know Israel isn't spending its own money. When other countries like Qatar buy U.S. arms, the congressional notification says funding source, national funds. When Israel buys U.S. arms, it says funding source, foreign military financing, that is U.S. taxpayer grants. And do you remember, I just recently, and I cannot encourage you enough to go watch this documentary called Nick Fuentes vs. Charlie Kirk, The Groiper War Documentary. It's on YouTube by a user named Militant Groiper. And you do not have to be a Groiper to watch this. You don't have to be a fan of Nick Fuentes to watch this. It's a very well done documentary that really just presents the facts. And I posted this on X, but just say it here. The mainstream media is not going to cover these types of events like the Groiper War. If you aren't familiar with the Groiper War, basically, Charlie Kirk had a speaking tour in 2019 where he went around and challenged college students to go up to the microphone and talk to him. Normally, it would be, you know, left wing sort of socialist dummies that go up and, you know, demand he supports transgenderism and he would just knock them down. But what happened was followers of Nick Fuentes and really just right wingers in general started to go up and ask questions about the USS Liberty or foreign aid to Israel. And again, totally fascinating, like monumental political event. It also is no small part of why I've been defending Nick Fuentes on X a little bit, because like this was 2019. He was leading the charge in 2019 and paying the price for it and going toe to toe with the likes of TPUSA and their entire power structure. So for people who just woke up to reality in 2024 to be like, screw this kid, it's like, yeah, you got to show him some respect. It's the same way I feel about Alex Jones. He's put in the work. He's proven he's got the stuff. He has made a difference already, and you benefit from the effect, the change effect that he's caused. So show some respect for the guy and what he's done already. Even if you disagree with him or whatever, you know, to disrespect him is kind of silly. It's an important thing what he's been able to do. This guy's only got 1.5. So it's a really amazing documentary, and I want to encourage you to go watch it, because we need more content like this, because if we lived in a normal country, this event, which went on for weeks and was a huge deal and, you know, dominated the X conversation. No mainstream media outlet is ever going to make anything about this, let alone an honest retelling of the story. And it's important for us to understand. It's political history here in America. And yet, you'll never get that, you know, story on 60 Minutes. You'll never get the profile of how this, you know, worked out aired on CBS News or ABC or anywhere else. So we need people with talent and ability to do the work. It took a lot of work. I'll tell you right now, I've edited documentaries to find all the footage, put all the clips in order, make sure it all fits on the timeline. It tells the story in a compelling way. It's extremely well done. And you should know that anybody out there making good political content that tells a good story that supports America's belief system, the Alex Jones Network is going to support it and encourage you to make more and do what we can to get more of this stuff made. But all this is to the side because it was a reminder, and I hadn't heard it in a while. So it was nice to go back and watch this video from 2019 to rehear the talking point that they used to always throw out, which was, sure, there's all this aid to Israel, but actually they have to spend it with us. So really, it's just like aid to us. You remember that? That used to be the stock line. If you questioned aid to Israel, that's what they would say. And it's absurd on the face of it. It's like me saying, I didn't give him a car. I gave him $20,000 and he bought the car from me. You gave him a car, dude. I don't know what to tell you. You gave him money. He gave it back to you and you gave him a thing. You just gave him a thing. All of this pretend shifting of money doesn't make any sense. It's not real. So it's a good reminder of like how things have changed. They don't say that anymore, do they? Because it's ridiculous, because it's an absurd thing for them to say. Well, sure, we give stuff to Israel, but really it's just like supporting America. It's good for American business. No, it's not. And if that's the excuse, what else could we be, you know, using that money on? What if we used it to buy, I don't know, bridges and things like that here in America? But no, we're going to give it to Israel so they can buy bombs from us. Great. So clearly there's been this evolution of the way in which Israel is reacting to their negative propaganda here in America, their negative reputation here in America, to try to shield their income from, you know, political vicissitudes. Let's talk about an Israeli agent, as I perceive it, here in America. The gay whale himself, Sebastian Gorka. Sebastian Gorka, who is in fact a homosexual killer whale, which is almost too cool for him. Sperm whale. He's like a homosexual sperm whale, and he has long had the knives out for the alternative media or anybody that he perceives as insufficiently loyal to the state of Israel. Now, I have people telling me he's an American citizen. I have people telling me he's not Jewish. I don't know. I don't really care. The man is a foreign agent, in my opinion, and evinces all of the characteristics one would expect of a hostile and subversive traitor to this country. His latest statement is like a bunch of these things combined, because not only is he saying that Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson are domestic terrorists for the language that they use. So like that alone, it's like, okay, he thinks that language is terrorism, and he thinks that Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, American citizens, expressing their opposition to a suicidal and genocidal war of another state, somehow deserve to be punished for that by the U.S. government. Totally, completely insane. Oh no. Oh, am I a domestic terrorist for calling you a gay whale, Sebastian? But he's felt this way for a long time, and I'll go to the clip of him saying the thing about Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes. But let's start with my interaction with him, because we haven't talked about it in a while. It was a very interesting event. And once again, it was the type of thing we used to do a lot, you know. Before the bankruptcy, we used to be able to go out and go to events and interview people and, you know, find, that's terrifying, you know, find people we want to talk to and interview them. It was very fun. We're going to get back to that. So again, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com to make sure that we, you know, are fully intact and fully ready to, you know, really kick the jets on. Cause this, transition has been great and smooth, but we really need your help to fill the gas tank and get on to the next stage. But this type of stuff I miss doing, and you know, you get these unexpected events. So for me, we're walking around CPAC. I've got a microphone, maybe Greg Reese filming for me, and you know, we're trying to find people we know. I interviewed Elijah Schaefer. I actually got a question to Jim Jordan. You know, just you see people, you go up to them. Hey, how's it going? What are you doing here? What's exciting? You know, whatever latest news topic there is, you ask them about. And so I see Sebastian Gorka. I recognize him, obviously. And I go, oh, Sebastian Gorka, turn on the camera. Let's go say hi to him. Not thinking that I was ambushing him, not thinking like, let's go humiliate this guy. I'm like, I just know he's a dude that is famous or whatever. I know he's like a pretty popular guy in conservative circles. So I go up just to say hi to him, and the response I get is like this vicious attack, and you can kind of see in the video, I'm just like, what? I'm just like, what are you talking? Why? What? Why are you so angry at me? It's very weird. This is the type of stuff I'm very excited to get back to, but let's go to it. Here's the video of me interacting with Sebastian Gorka and him trying to kick me out of CPAC. Let's watch. Hello?
Yeah, go away, all right? You guys are kooks. You're crazy kooks and conspiracy theorists. Go away.
So we shouldn't be allowed to be here?
This is for real conservatives, not people who are snake oil merchants and conspiracy theorists like you. Goodbye.
There you go, a rousing diatribe of support from Sebastian Gorka. According to him, we're not real conservatives. We are snake oil salesmen and kooks. Well, these snake oil salesmen and kooks are largely the ones who got Trump elected. So while he's riding our coattails and riding in our wake, he also is trying to get us kicked out of his oh-so-precious conservative action conference. Now, yesterday, there was an incident, of course, where Owen Schroyer was kicked out of CPAC and not given a reason why. Now, Sebastian Gorka applauded this, celebrated this. He was actually questioned on Twitter by CJ Pearson saying, you know, this isn't right. Why are you supporting the destruction of free speech of fellow conservatives at this conservative political action conference? And Sebastian Gorka claimed that they were kicking out Holocaust deniers. Now, it's not up to him what people think or what they say, and obviously Owen Schroyer has never denied the Holocaust, but these are just the smears that get thrown around. Do they just lump anybody together? If you're not 100% aligned with them, ideologically aligned with them in the neocon conservative ink mindset, you're just bad, you're a kook, you're a snake oil salesman, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are just the smears we've come to expect, and we've never denied the Holocaust, we've never been anti-Semitic, and yet we'll still be smeared with that same brush because it's not about the truth, it's not about reality, it's about them having control over the apparatus of control, and so we represent a threat to that, and so they'll throw anything at the wall just to see what sticks. So I'm going to continue to walk around and talk to CPAC, and people, as you see, will reveal themselves. The mask comes off. They're not in favor of free speech.
All right. So there you go. A little weird interaction with Sebastian Gorka. But the interesting thing about this is the reason that he called Owen Schroyer a Holocaust denier was because Owen Schroyer works for Alex Jones. Alex Jones did an event with Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes read a super chat out that made a joke referencing the discrepancy of death totals during the Holocaust. So what is that? 10 degrees of separation? So the whole thing, like what had happened, I guess, before CPAC was the Cookie Monster Nick Fuentes scandal, where a super chatter to Nick Fuentes said, you know, a Cookie Monster wants 6 million cookies. He has this many ovens. Can he bake that many cookies in that amount of time? And Nick Fuentes kind of laughed and goes, I don't know if the math really adds up there. I don't know. That's a lot of cookies. You might need some more ovens. And then he kind of moves on. So again, it's not even like he came out questioning the Holocaust. It was a oblique reference to the fact that people questioned the Holocaust. It was a joke referencing the fact that people questioned the Holocaust numbers, which isn't even questioning the Holocaust in the first place. It's questioning the death totals, which I think is perfectly valid to speculate on since we don't have friggin' video footage of it happening. Nobody really knows at the end of the day. But it's about this, like, joke smearing Nick Fuentes as a Holocaust denier. So now if you have an event with Nick Fuentes, now you're a Holocaust denier. And if you work for somebody who has an event with Nick Fuentes, you're also a Holocaust denier. So it's like a disease. It's like, I don't know, some sort of infection that you get if you're just anywhere near anybody associated with anybody close to somebody who doesn't, you know, treat the Holocaust with the absolute utmost respect and reverence, which, sorry, you don't have a right to dictate what people find funny and what they don't. So that's a little background for you of the gay whale. Now let's go to clip six here. This is Sebastian Gorka saying that Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes and other anti-Trump people aren't right-wingers and are domestic terrorists. Let's watch.
Dr. Gorka is with us, who is one of the top advisors to the president, the top advisor he's got on terrorism. We have just seen the announcement of the president's new counterterrorism strategy, which is, I think, probably the culmination of decades of work from Dr. G, and is something that I think sets America on a track to be much safer. We're going to get all the details with you, so this is a pretty big deal. So let's talk a little bit about the domestic terror, how we're addressing it. And I want to get... I want to get your thoughts on any right-wing terror that's out there, but before we do, because I really am curious your actual answer, if there's any, from what you're tracking. And I know you see, you're a straight shooter with me, Dr. G, so you'll tell me if there is. But we've seen so much left-wing terror, really dating back to Occupy, which was pretty violent. We had that, remember Andrew Breitbart's fame, stop raping the people comment. But then we, of course, have seen multiple assassination attempts against President Trump. We don't know if any of them come from any organized groups, I don't think, but maybe individuals, rogue individuals. Then we're seeing stuff like the SPLC, which is astroturfing right-wing terrorism. We saw a study the day we're recording this, Dr. G, that it was from CNN of all places, showing that anti-Semitic attacks are an all-time high. We know this is from, I don't know if people are on the left-right political spectrum, but certainly people who aren't voting for President Trump, we'll tell you that. Those are the people who are committing those types of attacks. So let's come back to right-wing extremism. Do you regard it as a threat at all or anything that's important to be considering right now? Because the SPLC revelations, I feel like we just got the tip of the iceberg. We don't really know how deep it goes. I mean, is there any? Like, I guess that's the question. I'm assuming there's a little bit because it's a big country. There's a little bit of everything. But is there really anything?
So right now, I can tell you that we need to get to the bottom of what the SPLC engendered. If you are paying alleged putative conservative extremists, then you're funding them as a left-wing organization, then what is that? Is that left-wing extremism or right-wing extremism? That is why it is imperative that what the FBI is doing, what the money trail investigations by, God bless him, Scott Bessent, will lead us to, will be crucial to understanding the real threat picture in America. But right now,
let's pause it right there. Let's pause it right there real quick. The SPLC was never accused of funding terror. Do you understand that? The SPLC was charged with fraud for providing funding to white nationalist, white whatever groups. Terrorism is an action. Terrorism is violence. It's not thoughts. It's not words. What the SPLC was engaged in is astroturfing the popularity of white supremacist groups so they could point to those groups and say anybody opposing mass migration, anybody who doesn't want to be replaced in their own homeland, they must be KKK white national supremacists, so they have to be stopped. But they didn't sponsor any violence. Obviously, the Charlottesville rally had some incidental but not deliberate or coordinated violence. It had, you know, a dumbass driving his car into a crowd when he was freaking out because they were attacking him. But regardless, to say that the SPLC is funding terror and we have to figure out if that terror is right wing or left wing, that is a complete mischaracterization of what happened. They weren't funding terror. They were funding a propaganda war. They were funding a information attack against the people of the United States, and they were charged for committing fraud, for defrauding their donors, even though I think that's probably going to fall flat, because I think the SPLC is going to be capable of arguing that what it was doing was in line with what it promised to its donors. Regardless, I think it's important to lay that out right now, that there was no terror involved in any of that, but it is an excuse that the likes of Gorka are using to go, oh, now right-wing activists are terrorists that are funded by the SPLC, so we'll have to go after them. Largely slop, Trump's new counterterrorism strategy is scant on substance, but heavy on enemies. Critics say document outlining strategy is both completely Trump plan and alarming escalation in rhetoric. It gets worse than that. Back to the gay whale, please.
God bless him. Scott Bessent will lead us to, will be crucial to understanding the real threat picture in America. But right now, we are not seeing comparable trend lines to violence on the right as we see on the left. And also, can I get a extemporaneously just kind of add a little addition here?
Please.
It's up to people like you. I'm not a political analyst anymore. I'm a counterterrorism government employee. But we have to have an effective, accurate snapshot on who are part of the conservative movement today. Because I would say to you, I'm not sure that Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson are conservatives. If you are lauding a Sharia law, if you are saying that there are Muslim states that seem to be better qualitatively than America in terms of freedom and prosperity, I'm not sure that means you're part of the conservative movement. So if you remove those individuals and you understand that they're not conservatives, what's left? Who are the people in the mainstream of the conservative movement, Alex, who are saying violence is okay? Hard to find people who aren't fringe figures.
See, all right, so
this
he's
is something
going after this. He is reinforcing and going on this false dichotomy that you're either Israel first or you're a leftist. Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson are on the right. You know, however you define it, they've got to be on the right, unless you define it by support of Israel. And if you support Israel, you're on the right. And if you don't, you're not. And that's the only thing that matters. And that's what Sebastian Gorka is reasserting. And in many ways, it's just a total destruction of language as we know it. What does conservative mean? To me, Sharia law is like the height of conservatism. It's like more conservative than I'm comfortable with. It ain't liberal, that's for sure. We'll cover more on the other side. Stay with us.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com, because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, and you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special offers, cancel any time. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.